You've got one in you. You better get it out of you. Amen? Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you go to all the wrong things and wrong places and have your life involved in things that have no purpose but will ultimately bring destruction to your life? This is going to be the simplest Easter message I've ever preached. As simple as I can preach it. John's Gospel, I ask you, 2 weeks ago, I told you last Sunday, but for you that are our guests today, you are very special. Thank you for being here. We appreciate you coming with your families, coming with your friends, and coming to be a part of what we believe is a celebration of life. We celebrate life here at Dutch Fork. We believe in life. We preach life. We sing about life. Everything that we do involves life. I want to leave this world a better place than I found it. I want to impact somebody's life. I want to be able to bring life into somebody's life. That's what Christ has done in me. When he died for me on the cross, when he shed his blood for me on Calvary's cross, when he bled and died for me, when thousands upon thousands upon thousands of gallons of blood had been shed by all of the lambs for all of those years, and then one solitary individual by the name of Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, the Savior of the world, the purpose that he was born for. Do you understand this morning that you are born for a purpose? Do you understand that God has a divine plan for your life? Do you understand that there's an enemy out there that would do everything that he could to keep you from discovering that divine purpose and divine plan for your life? He came but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. John 10:10. But Jesus said, I came, say it with me, that they might have life and have life more abundantly. That's the theme of this short sermon this morning. But I want you to remember it. I want you to think about what life is all about. I want you to understand why God gave you life. And I want you to discover that plan, that perfect plan that he has for your life. Oh yes, it began in the councils of eternity past. Before the world was ever created, in God's omniscient mind and will, he understood what man would do. Yet he loved man so much that even before he created man, as the psalmist would say, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor. Do you understand this morning that God wants to crown you one day? There are five crowns mentioned in the scripture. Five crowns that are mentioned that the child of God may receive to one day lay at the feet of the one who hung on that cross and bled and died and poured out his life's blood that you and I might live eternally. One day, every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess to the glory of God that Jesus Christ is Lord. Some people may ask the question, how could a loving God permit this and permit that and permit the other? How could a loving, holy, righteous God permit his son to die for somebody like me? Knowing what I would do, knowing how I would live, knowing all of my sins, in the infinite counsel of His mind, yet He loved me. Yet He loved me and created me and created you, every one of you, in His image and His likeness. Breathed into you His very life. Gave to you His very life. That you might fail. That you might flounder. No. That you might experience that abundant life. That you might come to know Him. That you might come to be filled by His Spirit and walk in the fullness of His power and His love in your life. That you might live the victorious life. That's what the resurrection is all about. If we stop at salvation alone, if we stop at the cross alone, if we only say He is a way, if we only say He's the truth, if we only say He's the life, and we stop at the foot of the cross, we never grow. We never develop. We never mature. And we never become what He intended that we be. I am come that they might have life. In my Bible, in the copy that I use, that word is found 43 times in John's Gospel. At least twice for each chapter. Why? Why? Because He wants you and I to experience the life He experienced with the Father. Think about that for a minute. Think about that for a minute. In all of my imperfections, in all of my failures, in all of that can happen in my humanity, He wants me to know how to live. 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 In this tongue, Proverbs, Solomon said, is the power of life and death. We speak life into ourselves by the words we choose, and life into others, or we speak death into ourselves and the lives of others. Powerful words. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Then why would we go to all of the wrong places if He's the way? Why would we listen to all of the wrong things if He's the truth? Why would we choose the things that bring death if He's life? You see, it's a lifestyle. It's the way that I can live. It's the way that I can live in relationship with Him. He's not just a way. He is the way. He did always that which pleased the Father. He did the will of the Father. He walked in obedience to the Father. The work He did was the work that His Father sent Him to do. He chose to be obedient and to walk in obedience to the will and the purpose and the plan of the Father. Why? Look at the cross. to be my Savior. But let's don't stop there. Not just to be my Savior, but to be my source. My source of life that I draw upon every day. You all know that I'm a little touched. I'm sorry to tell you, guests, but I am. I'm a little touched, and I'm very sentimental. And things get to my heart real easy sometimes. And sometimes I find myself a little, you know, maybe dealing with some of the issues that you're dealing with that can have the same type of implications that the issues that you deal with can have. Last night I got home from a wedding. I had a wedding yesterday evening at 5 o'clock in that nice weather. We have a wedding today right after this service for Mr. Jim and Ms. Rosemary, and I'm excited about that. That's why I'm dressed like I'm dressed this morning. For a wedding. There's a wedding coming. And last night I was sitting watching the Ten Commandments. I got home from the wedding and I was trying to remember when I was just a young fella. I was 13 years old when Charlton Heston played Moses and Yul Brynner, Pharaoh. And I sat there and I became so engrossed and I started reliving all of my childhood. I remember when we went to the Cook Theater in Waldorf, and I remember seeing the Ten Commandments for the first time, and I remember how riveted I was. It was only the second movie I'd ever been to. The first one that I went to was entitled I'll Cry Tomorrow. Susan Haywood was the star in that movie. Any of you remember I'll Cry Tomorrow? You remember that Susan Haywood destroyed her life through alcoholism, destroyed her career. My dad had become an alcoholic. You see, when his mom died, he couldn't handle life. And unfortunately, there was no one to offer him anything at that point in his life. And so guess where he turned? So last night, I sat and I watched the Ten Commandments. And finally, I said to Roma, I can't take any more. I've got to go to bed. I'm too emotional. And I'm emotional this morning. And you should be emotional this morning. Because somebody who loved you and loved me, regardless of our background, regardless of where we came from, regardless of how we were raised, loved us and went to a cross and bled and died. And not that I'm anybody, but I'm somebody. I'm a joint heir with him in the kingdom. Because you see, the Father chose me even before the foundation of the world. And listen to me, He chose you too. Every one of you, He chose you. Before you were ever even conceived, He chose you. That's how much He loves you. He chose you in Him. You see, He's not willing that any should perish. He's not willing that any should die, be separated from Him throughout the ages of eternity. He's not willing that any one not experience the abundant life. You see, I made a choice. I made a choice when I was 20 years of age to bow my heart, to bow my life at Aldous Air Force Base in Aldous, Oklahoma, raised in church all of my life, christened as a baby, sprinkled as a child, dipped as a Baptist. But I didn't have life. D. Do you have life this morning? Or are you just existing? Do you really live? You see, when Christ lives in you, what's happening around you doesn't matter. It's so whimsical. It's so unimportant because He is your life. I was sitting there thinking, Leon, I was thinking about all that our families experience and all that our families go through and all of the things that sometimes we wish God would just take away from us and God would just deal with and God would just handle it and God would just hear what I'm about to say. If I never receive anything else from Him, I've received all that I need to receive. If He never answers another one of Johnny's prayers, He answered that one October the 15th, 1963, before a few of you were born. When I bowed these knees and I confessed Him as my Lord and my Savior. And He became a way of life for me. He became my energy. He became my reason for wanting to live. He became my reason for wanting to impact somebody else's life. He became my reason for wanting to love people. He became my reason for everything that I did. You see, Roma not only got a new husband on December the 25th, but she got a saved husband at the same time. Yeah. We were talking last night about how blessed we are. You realize how blessed you are? A way to live. No wonder Paul would say, forgetting those things which are behind, I press, I push, I literally push towards that mark, towards that prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I push. Yesterday at the wedding, somebody asked me what I'm doing. I said, well, I'm preaching a little bit on the side. I'm enjoying life, y'all. You know what happened this morning when I woke up? I was resurrected from my sleep. Were you? Well, whether you believe it or not, you were. Do you understand the alarm clock didn't wake you up? The TV didn't wake you up. Your smartphone didn't wake you up. Your wife, your husband, your children didn't wake you up. Do you understand this morning, except God wakes you up, you don't wake up? You experience a resurrection every time you lay down and go to sleep. God raises you up. And guess what He's given you today? Life. Life to live. What are you going to do with it? How are you going to treat your fellow man? How are you going to treat your husband? How are you going to treat your wife? How are you going to treat your children? How are you going to treat your parents? How are you going to treat your coworkers? Life. I'm celebrating today because I have life. Life. I'm the way and I'm the truth. Truth. Every word He spoke is truth. Man may lie to me. Man may disappoint me, and I may disappoint somebody. But you know what? He has always spoken the truth to me. And He'll always speak the truth to you. You see, you can always trust Him. What's troubling you today? What's happening in your home, in your family, in your personal life? What's going on internally inside of you that's just between you and Him? Those thoughts that you're having, those things that you're dealing with, those struggles that you're having. His Word is true, and it addresses every area of our life. It's called resurrection power. He didn't come out of that grave just so when you die you'll be resurrected. Hello, that's part of it, but that ain't all of it. Poor English, but correct theology. That was just the beginning. He wants you to live. 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 Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do we allow dead things to come into our lives? Things that have no purpose. They'll wreck us. You know? I remember going to the fair one time, and I remember getting in a roller coaster. And I remember, Lord, if you'll ever let me get out of this thing, I promise you, I'll never get back in another one. Now Roma and I ride the Ferris wheel. You ever thought about a roller coaster? Maybe your life is like that, up and down, in and out. And when you get off, you ever tried to get off one? Maybe that's where you are today. Maybe that's what's happening, and nobody but you knows that. Kneel at the foot of the cross and invite life into your heart. Oh, yes, the tomb's empty. It's empty. The tomb's empty. He's alive. You know why He's alive? Because God the Father raised Him up to be the first fruits from the grave. And when that high priest would take that sheaf of grain and wave it before on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, he was waving that sheaf as a testimony to that which was to come. You remember when Jesus arose from the grave, many in Jerusalem arose also and ascended with Him. You remember what He told the thief on the cross? Today, not tomorrow, not next week. Not next year. Today. You see, the resurrection is an event. Paul said he was seen of over 500 brethren, and last of all he was seen of me. Listen to me. One day there are going to be empty tombs. John chapter 5 says, all that are in the grave shall hear His voice. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. John chapter 5, beginning at verse 28 and following. And so this morning, it's a choice. It's a choice to choose Him. That's why He came, to die on that cross. To bleed for you and me, to shed His blood. 7 times He cried out from that cross. The 6th time He said, it is finished. And the 7th time He said, Father, into Your hands I commend My spirit. Do you understand this morning? Man nailed Him to the cross, but He willingly gave His life. Do you understand that? He said to Pilate, no man takes My life. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to raise it up again. God has given me that word. And so the promise is to each and every one of us today, That when we walk out of these doors, if we never make it home, but we have trusted Christ as our Lord and our Savior, the promise is that though death may come to this old body, I shall not die, but live. Roman and I took a little trip down to the farm, and we went to the cemeteries, and we put lilies on all of our parents' graves and my stepmother's grave. And so there's been a lot of emotion that's been going through me in the last day and a half, and a lot of thinking. Have you had time to think? Have you taken time to think? Do you understand that we'll never assemble again like we are here today? Some of us will be missing. That doorway of death may come to us as a child of God or to you as a person who has never trusted Christ. But it will come. You see, the scripture says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Are you prepared? I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but through me. Have you made that choice this morning? You see, that's what the resurrection's all about. To give you hope. Hope in a world that offers you a false hope, a false peace, a false satisfaction. I close with these remarks. The American dream has so grabbed us in our Western culture. And all of us grow up with these dreams as little boys and little girls about what we would like to be and like to become. And if we're not careful, we get sidetracked in spending all of our time and our energy and our focus in life on what we would like to become. When the average age for men today is 71 and the average age for ladies is 77, the Bible says 70, perhaps 80. You see, life is but a vapor. It appears for a little while and then it vanishes. I remember when I turned 30 years of age and I thought to myself, I'm the age that Jesus was when he began his earthly ministry. I remember when I turned 33 and I thought to myself, our son will be 33 his next birthday. And I remember thinking, I'm the age Jesus was when he was crucified. No one life has so impacted the world as his did. And he did it for you. And me. And it's your choice. It's your choice. It's your choice. You can choose to live the abundant life, or you can flounder. You'll fail. The enemy will do everything he can to rob you of that which Christ came to give you. He'll drag you in all of the different directions and you'll feel pulled and torn and tattered. But you see, Jesus came so that you might have wholeness. That you might be a whole person. No wonder Paul would write, I pray God your whole body, soul, and spirit be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So why did he die? He died. He took your place. He took my place. Poured out his blood. He paid the price. But then he rose. He rose over all that death could bring against you and I. All that sin had sought to destroy, he arose over it. Sin, death, and the grave. No wonder Paul would cry, "O grave, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" Thanks be to God who gives us the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what Pastor Johnny wants for you today? I want you to walk out of this service today with victory in your heart. I want you to know who you are in Christ. I want you to know that He chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world. I want you to know, listen to me, I want you to know that He wants you to experience that same fellowship with the Father that He experienced. You say, whoa, wait a minute. He was the only begotten Son of God. He's second person of deity. He was a man filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He was the God-man. And when He walked this earth, He walked as a man filled with the Holy Spirit of God in obedience to the will of the Father. What a relationship. They could not touch Him until it was time for Him to die. And when it became time, He died. And the promise was that out of that grave He would come. You see, Satan would have won had he stayed in the grave. Yeah. You see, the cross is part of it. Without the resurrection, there would be no hope. You see, that's where our hope's at. So, if he tarries, and you live out the rest of this day, and you go to sleep tonight, and you wake up in the morning, I want you to wake up knowing this is a new resurrection day for me. Listen, I haven't sinned in it yet. I haven't been ugly or nasty. I haven't been a bad guy. Lord, help me to live this day with resurrection power. Don't try to live the next 10 years. Tomorrow. And when you finish tomorrow and you lay your head down tonight and sleep, or tomorrow night and sleep rather, remember, it's going to be Him that wakes you up. That's right. And if He wakes you up and there's a new resurrection day, remember how you can live that day. Well, I have authority over the enemy. Y'all want me to stop, don't you? Yes, I do. He's given me the authority over the enemy, you see. He's given me authority to live. How? The abundant life. He's given me a way to live. He's given me the truth to live by, and He's given me life. That's what it's all about. Life. Start speaking life. Don't speak dead words. Dead words bring death. You remember the school teacher that said, "Don't say I can't. Say I'll try." Well, let me correct the school teacher. I'm picking at Marcia and Joe back there. Let me correct the school teacher. No, you don't try. You know why? Because you're doing it in the energy of the flesh if you try. You say, "Lord, You do it through me. Today, Lord, You do it through me. If You don't do it through me, Lord, if You don't take over this situation that I'm in, Lord, if You don't handle my temper, Lord, if You don't handle this, Lord, if You don't... Lord, You take over my life for me today. Stop trying. You know why? Because you're going to fail if you try. Don't raise your hands, but how many of you have tried and failed? And then you felt horribly guilty, didn't you? And then He just heaps the guilt on you and says, and you call yourself. Okay, that's your Easter message. That's your Easter message. Life. Leave out of this place here today. Life. I want to live. I want to live. I want to live to the fullest. I want to live every day God's given me. I want to live it to the fullest, church. Oh, you'll never see Brother Johnny walk around with a face this long, look like the cow licked it. No, sirree, you're not going to do it. Life, 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 life. Live, live, live. They rolled me in the hospital, paralyzed from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. Couldn't tie my tie, couldn't button my shirt, couldn't do anything else. And I had a guy ask me yesterday, can you still jump up and click your heels together? I said, yes, sir, I can still jump up and click my heels together. You all have seen me do it, but for you guests, I won't embarrass you, okay? All right? Live. Live. Leon?
Stand and work.